Taxpayers bailed out Fannie and Freddie. Did we get scammed?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The agency that regulates Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has sent subpoenas to banks that sold the mortgage-backed securities that got Fannie and Freddie in so much trouble. Remember, these are the government-backed mortgage giants that bought billions of dollars of these securities during the housing boom. Many of them were based on subprime mortgages, and they contributed to the need for a huge taxpayer bailout. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us now live to talk about these subpoenas. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
What is Fannie and Freddie's regulator trying to figure out here?
Well, it really wants to know whether the firms that issued those mortgage-backed securities intentionally misled Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac about how risky those investments were.
And Elisa, could you give us the quick refresher on these mortgage-backed securities?
Sure. You remember that mortgage-backed securities are those complicated financial instruments where banks basically packaged up mortgages and then sold pieces of the securities to investors. A lot of banks were accused of putting questionable mortgages into those securities, but then telling investors that they were perfectly safe. And as you know, part of what caused the financial crisis was when the housing market collapsed and all those securities that were based on it lost value.
A sad story. So now in this investigation, who is being looked at, Elisa? Who got the subpoenas?
The agency isn't saying, but it's pretty easy to guess. Some of the biggest issuers of these are now extinct. So Bear Stearns and Countrywide are two names that you might recognize. Mm-hmm. But they were taken over by places like JPMorgan Chase and B of A. So some big players could be involved in this. If the government's investigation pans out, it could cost those big players. If the government can prove that the issuers were intentionally misleading the investors, then the banks will have to pay the money back to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
And how much money are we talking about?
A lot. Together, Fannie and Freddie own more than $200 billion worth of these things. So if the banks have to pay that money back, it could end up being very expensive.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth, thank you.
You're welcome.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he has the votes he needs to overhaul Wall Street and the nation's financial regulatory system. One part of this bill would change the way stockbrokers and insurance agents are looking out for their customers. We get that story from Kathy Duchamp.
Many people are shocked to find out that brokers don't have to put their clients' best interests first. That's according to Barbara Roper with the Consumer Federation of America. Brokers are only required to determine whether investments are, quote, suitable. But Roper says the new regulation would apply a higher standard known as fiduciary duty.
Say you have two comparable mutual funds. One of them pays the broker more, but the other one would be best for the investor. The broker operating under fiduciary duty would have to recommend the one that's best for the investor.
Under fiduciary duty, stockbrokers would apply the same standard already used by registered financial advisors. Profits for clients would be a top priority over any fees or commissions a broker could make, and conflicts of interest would have to be disclosed.
To say that I'm not looking out for the best interest of my client, I think is a gross oversimplification of the way it really works on the street.
That's Thomas Curry, president of the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. He calls the fiduciary duty standard another layer of regulation that will be hard to enforce. He'll make his case to the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's charged with assessing current rules before putting any new ones in place. I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
And now an impartial look at this morning's numbers. European shares are up more than 1%. Last night, the American aluminum giant Alcoa reported better-than-expected earnings and a pretty rosy outlook, too. It's a good sign. However, the euro is down. The ratings agency Moody's downgraded Portugal's debt a couple of notches. Asian stocks were mostly lower today. Wall Street continued its winning streak yesterday with the Dow Industrials up 18 points, closing at 10,216.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Remember when Microsoft inspired fear and loathing in the tech industry? It used to be the Goliath from Redmond would announce it was interested in taking over a market, and entrepreneurs would panic, antitrust regulators in Washington would file injunctions. But lately, it seems Microsoft can talk all at once about its ambitions and nobody's knees are knocking. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
At Microsoft's Worldwide Developer Conference this week in Washington, D.C., the company's CEO, Steve Ballmer, ran out onto the stage like a rock star.
Please welcome to the stage, as you get really, really loud, Steve Ballmer!
But despite the flashbulbs popping, there were empty seats at the Verizon Center, and Ballmer's message was contrite. He basically admitted the company missed the boat on the mobile computing revolution and was playing catch-up. But can Microsoft really come up with a smartphone or a tablet computer that consumers actually want?
I think it's a lost cause. They're never going to find their way into my pocket.
Jay Cuthrell is a mobile technology consultant. He says Microsoft is so far behind Apple and Google in the mobile space, they're basically starting from scratch. Charles Galvin, an analyst at Forrester Research, agrees.
It's not just a battle for the hearts and minds of consumers. It's also a battle for the hearts and minds of developers.
Galvin says these days when consumers buy a smartphone or if they're thinking about a tablet computer, they're focused on the kinds of applications they can get for it. And right now, very few developers are building apps for Microsoft devices, and that's a big problem.
They need more than one killer app. They need sort of, you know, a stable of 25 or 30 really compelling applications.
Still, Galvin says writing the company off in the mobile space is premature.
They are a fearsome and committed competitor.
Microsoft still dominates the software market and has billions of dollars to burn while it tries to break into the mobile business. I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, General Motors says, here, you build it. If you order a 2011 Corvette Z06 or ZR1 and pay an extra $5,800, GM will let you go to its Michigan plant and assemble the engine yourself. Sure, you may not be a professional mechanic, but as you round that mountain curve at high speed, you'll know that at least you did your best. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.